You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Art General Show. My name is Cora Zahn, and today my very special guests are Tracy Marcuzzi and Ian Nesbitt. Good morning.
Hi, Cora.
Hi, Cora.
So we're going to have a conversation about being a little bit creative during these trying times.
For sure.
Yes.
Yes.
The idea of holding space came to my mind this morning. Explain what holding space means.
Holding space to me is about being mindful of yourself, being aware of your energy, where your energy is going at this particular time, you know, what's happening, because I think what's going on out there, there's a lot of pull, there's a lot of things that are pulling us in different directions and can sometimes pull us out of our center of peace, if you like, or our center of, no matter what's going on, our center in ourselves. And so it's about really monitoring what's going on for you so you can take better care of your well-being, your resources, what you need at this time. It's really holding space for you, taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about holding space?
Yeah, I guess the first thing is to realize that, you know, in these times we're wanting to have information about what's going on. But at the same time, you know, we can get fixated with that. We can get too obsessed with it. We can get too caught up in it. And so we're bringing ourselves back to a space whereby, back to our own calmness, back to our own peace, you know. And I think this is a time when, you know, we have to be really, what's the word, you know, almost ruthless with that. You know, like keeping a sense of compassion for ourselves in these times. And then being able to use that to be able to allow what's arising to arise. So, you know, whatever emotions are there, you know, so you're present to the space. When we're talking about holding space, we're present to the space and what's arising in your space. So whether that's, you're getting emotional by something, you know, acknowledging and accepting that that's what's going on for you and being okay about that, you know, because we go into fear about feeling. You know, we go into this fear about feeling too much or having too much emotion about something rather than, well, no, they're the reactions that we have, you know, and then we just allow ourselves to accept that that's what's there. Oh, you know, there's a bit of fear.
Why do you think people get scared of feeling too much feeling?
That's quite a complex one, but it's pretty much the foundation of the work that we do, which is it's the fact that we relate to ourselves as this identity. This is who I am. You know, the thoughts that are running in your head, that's who we think we are. And so feeling takes you away from that. So in a sense, it brings you back to a more sensory awareness. You know, you're more in your body, you're more grounded and real, but you're identity, so you know, your ego identity, so to speak, is freaks out about that, you know. It loses control of the situation, and I think that's really, you know, the fundamental foundation of fear, in the fear that we're talking about, which is mental emotional fear. You know, it's really this feeling of being out of control or not being able to have control of the situation. And also not feeling like, well, okay, here's something that's come into our reality which could invade our boundaries, you know, and we don't have a choice in the matter, you know. And so, you know, the fear is also about a lack of trust in ourselves, a lack of trust in being able to set up boundaries, but also in being able to take care of ourselves. And so holding space is really about being able to see all of that, that that's what's going on, you know. Wow, I'm freaking out over that. You know, so let's just, you know, accept that I'm having a bit of a freak out and bring myself back to calm, bring myself back to peace. You know, if you think about anxiety and things like that, it's often caused by being fixated on something, usually a negative future, you know, that something that's going to happen that you don't want to happen. So it's that sense of, you know, of letting go of that fixation on something, you know, and bringing yourself back to peace and calm. So when we talk about psychological emotional fear, that's different from, you know, there's a lion outside your door that wants to eat you or something. You know, it's a different type of fear. It's projected. It's thoughts about the future. So, you know, what we strongly teach people is about being in the now. You know, that there is no future. you know, you're creating that in your mind. You know, there's only what's here, right now. And so in what's here, right now, what's the next thing that's there to do? Well, you know, there's another coat of paint on that, or maybe you've got to go and sort out some shopping, or maybe you've got to go and call somebody, or, you know, you just take the next immediate action. So that brings you back to your space. It brings you back to you, rather than, you know, having your attention and focused outside yourself.
Yeah, I think just to add to what Ian's saying, you know, it's easy to fixate on the external, because sometimes it's actually really scary to just be with the feelings that are there. So whilst we do have to continue to do the shopping and do all these things, you know, bubbling away is just a lot of uncertainty. And, like, I personally feel what a lot of us really crave at these times is reassurance, which is really challenging because we're not aware that we might even need it, and we don't know how to ask for it, or we don't know how to give it to ourselves. So creating those structures that you talked about earlier, that, you know, which enable us to connect to ourselves and to just be okay with what we're feeling, means that we can start to reassure ourselves. We can just go, okay, not really, you know. But people are learning how to reassure ourselves, and sometimes it's easier to fixate on the external.
To even understand that this is what is happening within ourselves, and that's why we're so unsettled. We've got these different stories running at the same time, and we're fixating on one. And if we allow more space, or hold more space for more perspectives, then that'll help us calm down.
Depends what you're plugging into or what you're fixating on.
Yes,
we would say.
Yeah,
I would say.
Can you shift from one to another? Like,
well, that's what I mean. I think all of that is in the mind level, and, you know, we want people to come back to a heart realization.
Okay.
So to become, you know, our belief is that the journey through life of developing and learning is all about going from your head to your heart, you know, and to so when you're in your head, you're under attack from all that negative thought and all the different beliefs and stories and opinions and stuff. And so when you're also taking that in, that's triggering that in you. And then, you know, you go into spaces of uncertainty, of doubt and worry and concern. And we all have amazing imaginations. So, you know, we can imagine the worst case scenarios quite easily, because that's what we're being fed by. No one's probably imagining the best case scenario at the moment, you know, or very few people, you know. So when we come back to our heart, it's like turning off the noise. You know, it's like you automatically not caught up in that noise. And when you're coming back to the heart, then what you're coming back to is feeling. And see, the thing is, then, when you asked before, you know, there's a fear of feeling. Well, yes, if you go back to your heart and you go back to your feeling, there's going to be feelings there. And maybe some of those feelings you're not particularly comfortable with, or don't like, or been pushing away, or been avoiding, or sweeping under the carpet, you know. But in a way, this is the journey of life. This is where growth occurs. This is where, you know, it might be a little bit painful, but it's that's where growth occurs. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And I feel like that's what this is all about this time.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Art Journal Show. We were talking off air about choice and intention. Tell us about that, Tracy.
I think when all this craziness is going on, we forget at times that we do have personal choice. We get swept up, we get caught up in, you know, what we have to follow, what we have to do, and it's important to be mindful of, you know, how we need to respond, but it's also important to come back to our individual response. I guess Ian and I talk a lot about responding versus reacting. So responding means just responding from a place of calmness and connectedness to yourself, as opposed to reacting from fear. So when we take a moment to connect with ourselves through having some time out, just having a bit of space from the craziness, we can drop into, okay, how am I choosing to respond here? How can I best manage myself, my time, all my responsibilities, everyone I'm taking care of? What choices am I making? What's my intention here? To keep myself sane, to keep everybody, you know, okay at this time, to keep the ship afloat. because I feel if we take that personal responsibility and choose, you know, it might even be some qualities. Okay, today I'm just going to be in a state of ease. I'm just going to take on ease today. So no matter what happens, I'm just going to come back to ease, you know, and just be flowing like water. I'm just going to flow around all these things that happen rather than kind of, you know, experience, I don't know, just being a bit more flexible and agile.
One of the things that has been in the news is things like people being angry, aggressive and confronting in situations, you know, for example, in the supermarkets. Mm. But today I was at the news agency and there was a lady who was humming a little tune and I just started humming along with her and I said, well, that's contagious. she was cheery and I thought, geez, made a choice whether, you know, intentional or not, I don't know, I didn't ask her, but... Mm. He couldn't help but join in with her humming. And I have noticed people around have been saying hello and smiling. Mm. So there are people around who seem to be making that different choice.
Yes.
Definitely, yes. I was I saw a friend on Facebook put a post up about going into the shops and smiling at people. And her intention was to just go in and smile. And... you know, she got a few odd reactions to that, but then she had a few nice responses from people who were also going, hey, yeah, you know, this is tough and, you know.
It's a bizarre time. It's a very strange time.
And having a sense of humour is really important as well, having being able to laugh at it, because one of the things that goes when we go into survival mode and our, you know, our vagus nerve is going off. I mean, this is the biochemistry reaction to, like, an external stress such as this. The first thing that goes is our sense of humour. It goes. Our sense of humour goes. And then, like, even our... We lose our mind a little bit. We start to forget things. So just calming yourself and bringing yourself back, smiling, actually activates sort of positive sensations in your body. You know, touching yourself is another one. We can't touch other people at the moment, but we can touch ourselves... And it comes back to reassuring ourselves.
How does it work? How come touching yourself works? But yeah. I have heard that before.
When we experience touch, our body releases a chemical. Even if it's yourself, oxytocin. It's a powerful message, a messenger. You're saying, I care about myself. If you hold yourself in kind ways, in loving ways, if you just give yourself a hug and take a deep breath, you know.
Let's all do it now. Yeah. We're in the studio at the moment, giving ourselves a hug.
And you can smile at the same time, right? It actually releases oxytocin.
So if you're listening to this, give yourself a hug.
Give yourself a hug. It's challenging out there. And this is one simple way you can reassure yourself, because the body goes into fight or flight. The body gets afraid that it's not safe. Our mind goes back to different periods where we weren't safe, and it creates all sorts of scenarios. So it's just even holding yourself brings you back into the present moment.
Is it kind of like how small children will have like a blanket? Is that part of what they're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah,
naturally. Sure. Like, you know, no one's taught a child to say, you know, blankie or their toy or whatever. But I guess when they're hugging their toy or their blanket, in some way they're also... hugging themselves.
Oh, yeah. And it's even been shown that, you know, like with baby monkeys, they prefer a blanket and reassurance over food. You know, they've done experiments. I mean, not that I agree with those type of experiments, but, you know, that's what it's shown, is that we naturally want acknowledgement and hugs and connection.
Comforting.
You know, being comforted, you know, over the food, you know. So it's incredibly important, you know, that we're reassuring and acknowledging and giving each other comfort at these times, you know, and supporting that.
So could this be a way, like, of shifting from the story that's running rampant in your mind to coming down into feeling?
Yeah.
Could that be a step? A first step?
It is the first step, yeah. And, you know, you can hear in what Tracy's saying, you can hear very much that, you know, she's talking about, what are you actually creating? You know, what are you creating in terms of this situation? How are you creating your day? How are you creating your relationship to it? you know, how are you creating how you respond versus, you know, reaction's very automatic. This is what we teach people, is that when we react to things, it's an automatic response. It's, there's, you know, you're not thinking about it at all. So, you know, we learn to interrupt that to oh, wow, I've just reacted to that situation. Okay, how would I like to respond to that situation? And in the moment that you make that choice, you've got power back. You're back in your power. You're back in a sense of command of yourself and the situation, rather than trying to control something that you have no control over sometimes.
When you're trying to control something in this situation, it's invisible. We don't know where it's coming from. It's like the boogeyman, you know, hiding in the cupboard or under the bed. Yeah. It's going to pop out any minute.
It's microscopic as well, and it's one that nobody's ever seen. You know, very few people have seen.
It's invisible.
So, you know, you can't see it, right?
So it's super scary.
Yeah, in that sense it is, yeah.
Yeah, so by saying, okay, we're running off with that story, let's create.
Yeah.
Let's be creative in how we deal with this. And one way is to halt.
Well, interrupting.
Talk about interrupting.
Yeah, and even in what you just said then, that it's super scary. Like, the super scary comes from the unknown factor, doesn't it? It comes from the fact that we can't see it and all those sort of type of things.
We can't control it.
So we don't have any control over it. But in a way, that's a fundamental lesson of life, you know? So it's about having that command over ourselves.
I guess in some ways, part of helping people to feel that they're doing something is things like the social distancing, and that's an element of control, and washing your hands. I mean, obviously,
yes,
we're talking about this coronavirus and how to creatively respond at this time.
Yes.
So there are things that people can do, but it still feels out of control.
Well, that's it, and you know, this is a fundamental wisdom of life, is that there's things that you can control and there's things that you can't. You know, you have, if you want to use, we prefer the word command over control, but you can have command over yourself and how you respond and how you deal with things and how you create what's going on. And at the same time, you have no control or command over what's going on out there in the world and what people are saying and what they're doing and so on. So it's, you know, that's a metaphor for life. That's how life is, right?
I really do like your distinction between command and control, because with command, it is bringing you into your own power.
Yes.
Whereas control is almost like something that you have no power over.
Yes, that's it. And that's the feeling. When you're trying to control things on a subconscious level, you really are saying to yourself, I have no power in this situation. And, you know, we really love people to get that you always have power in the situation. Mm. You know, you always have power in the situation because you have choice. You know, even in a worst case scenario, you know, you have choice. And so if we can bring ourselves back to that choice that we have, oh, I've got the power of choice, you can almost say that, you know, that's akin to being conscious to everything. You know, to be awake, to be aware, to be conscious means that you have choice in the situation. When you have choice, you can then create something rather than react to something, you know. I can choose to walk into these shops and be happy. I can choose to take everything with grace, to bring grace to the situation. I mean, you know, even if I was I had to check in with myself around this and thought, well, what would you do if you got something? If you got this virus, you know, you would deal with it gracefully. You know, you would, because that, you know, that that's more important to your immune system than anything, you know. So, you know, laughter, like what they say, laughter is the best medicine, you know, like, so, you know, that's an ancient wisdom. You know, it's, there's a reason why that is, because it stimulates the nervous system, you know. And so it's making these choices to be able to create a positive perspective for yourself. And know that, you know, when you're conscious, you're able to do that. When you're unconscious, you're reacting in fear. And so we getting people aware of even that dynamic that's playing out in ourselves is really, really important at this time.
Fantastic. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My name is Cora Zon. This is the Art Journal Show. My very special guests are Tracy Marcuzzi and Ian Nesbitt. We were talking off air about boundaries, and Ian, you were saying something about being a cell ourselves. Tell us more about that.
Just we were talking about holding space as well, and I was thinking of this idea of us, you know, being like a cell and having this sort of membrane around us, you know, like a sort of a force field, or you could call it as well. And then from that perspective, you know, you allow certain things in that are good for you, that nourish you, that support you, and then you also reflect things that don't, you know, and you can channel that energy away from you, you know, you can just let it bounce off you and not take it on. And I think that's also a very important quality to learn.
Well, thinking about holding space, you need boundaries to hold space, don't you? You need an outer...
Yeah.
It's kind of like a protective shield, but it's like a membrane as well. It has to be permeable. You know, you've got to be able to still let love and good things come in.
I love thinking in metaphors. What are we going to let in? What are we going to exchange?
Whatever it is you're calling in at this time. So this...
And this is where choice comes in, isn't it?
This situation is going to bring up different things for different people. It's going to wake up different callings. It's going to wake up a desire to be of service in different ways, or it's going to wake up... some sort of inspiration, potentially.
Potentially.
You know, if they, yeah, I believe we all have the creative to respond creatively, that capacity to respond when we're not in fear. This is actually a great time to innovate. And I think you see out there a lot of people already starting to innovate and they're taking their businesses. How can we be flexible? How can we adapt? So what's going on for you inside that's having you, you know, what's waking up in you? And how do you want to respond to that?
Yes.
Somebody's responding very excitedly in the next room right now. So that's good, right? So for me, it actually feels like an exciting time of change. I the people that I'm interacting with, I feel there's a lot of passion in the air. People, you know, it could be angry passion or excited passion, but there are people that feels that feel this is a harbinger of change.
Yeah. Well, it's stirring up a lot of stories, isn't it? So once those are stirred up, if you can hold space for yourself and have that ability to step back and see what you're dealing with in your own mind, then you can start to
create what you actually want, you know, what you desire, what you know, because I think that's one of the things is that when you're in the fear, you're almost caught up in this sort of information world of, you know, getting information and getting more information and getting the sort of, you know, dissection of that information. And it just goes on and on and on, right? It's like, but, you know, when you put that aside and let go of the fixation in that, then you come back to your creative self, then, you know, the question is there is, what do I want to create? What's the world that I want to create? How do I want my life to be? How do I want me to be? So, you know, these are sort of deep and more profound questions of, you know, how do I create myself? How do I create my life? How do I create my business? How do I create my relationships? You know, you start to looking at it in terms of what you truly desire. So it when you take away your fixation with information, you come back to your own truth and what that really wants. And that's, again, I think this is the time for that. It's an amazing time for that because often people don't ask these questions until they're forced into a situation to ask these questions, until something profound happens or collapse happens. They lose their jobs, they lose their relationship or something like that.
Lose their health.
Lose their health. That's when people ask these questions. So, you know, it's a part of our evolution, I believe, as human beings to address these things on a deeper level and start to relate to each other from this level.
So this is an opportunity. It can be an opportunity. It's a difficult time, but it can be an opportunity. Bringing respect into that as well for everyone's process.
That's it, yes.
Because everybody is at a different stage in a different phase. And so how about when, you know, you're looking at yourself and holding space and trying to create a different reality and you're banging up against people, what happens there?
I think that's when it's really important to be clear with your boundaries. And the only way to be clear with the boundary is to know what your truth is, what you're really feeling. And so we need to be in touch with that. We need to feel, I'm getting agitated talking to this person. They're going into a lot of fear, a lot of story. I actually don't really want to be around that right now. So once you're aware of that feeling, you know, then it's a matter of just articulating, you know, in kind of a, you know, what, in a compassionate way. Yeah, just what your truth is. Hey, look, I'd love to listen to you, listen to more of what you have to say at another time perhaps, but I'm really feeling it's important for me to manage my own energy right now.
It really distinguishes, you know, I think one of the things that's really happening these days is this sense of do you have a trust in the future, or do you have no trust in the future, you know? And I think if you're a person who's creating your reality, then you have a trust in the future that's naturally just there. Because even if it goes really bad, you still somehow trust in yourself and trust in the processes of that. You know, so it's a greater philosophical understanding of the nature of life. So if you're meeting somebody who's just deep in the fear, you know, is deep in the trenches of fear and what's going on and everything like that, you know, that's where they're at. They're dealing with a lack of trust. They don't trust themselves. They don't trust what's going on. They don't trust their immunity systems. You know, they don't trust anything. And so, you know, that creates deep fear. So, you know, we really have to bring compassion to that situation and accept that that's that person's reality, you know. It's one of the first things I learned as a coach was I got told if your client comes into you and says it's raining outside and you look and it's sunny, you accept that it's raining outside, you know, that you accept their reality because that's what they're dealing with. You know, you don't say, no, it's not, it's sunny, what are you talking about? You know, you accept where they're coming from and what they're doing and how they see it. And that's their reality, you know?
It's their reality in that moment, but that reality can be shifted. I think that's part of what can happen. If you accept the reality that you're in at the moment, then you can say, okay, that's that, but yes, what else is possible?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, but if there's no acceptance, then it just becomes an argument over reality, right?
Yes.
You know, oh, no, it's sunny. Well, I think it's raining. No, it's sunny. It's raining. You know, you go into that space. But if you say, oh, wow, you think it's raining. Great. Okay. I just noticed, have you seen that it's quite light out there? There's some light there as well, which is good. You know, so you can open up the possibilities of other things.
That's if the person is open as well. If they're deep in an emotional state, it's really good to acknowledge what they're feeling. You know, I really get that you're really concerned right now. You're really worried about your family and your situation and your finances.
Even for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, not even just for somebody else, but for yourself to be saying, hey, and so this is what you were talking about before, that when you're looking at, you're holding space for yourself, you're accepting what you're thinking now, because trying to push that away or trying to reject even how you're feeling, it doesn't give you that opportunity to get back into your power and think through what else.
It's hard to make a choice when we're riding the emotional wave.
Riding it,
well,
and also trying to push it away at the same time.
Or trying to push it away.
So you're struggling within yourself almost, and so where's the space then for...
Yeah, we become self-critical. We're all incredibly self-critical, I think. We all sort of beat ourselves up to some degree about something. And so often, you know, in those situations, you're thinking, I shouldn't feel this way, or I shouldn't be this way, or I don't want to be this way, I don't want to feel this way.
I'm embarrassed to be this way.
Rather than that's just what's coming up for you. That's just what's there, you know. And so it's something to look at. It's something to accept and be okay about. And the more you can accept and be okay about that, the more that it doesn't have power over you.
Okay, so these are the steps that we're going through first. Give ourselves a hug.
Yes. Mm.
We're all hugging ourselves in the studio now.
And remind ourselves we're doing the best that we can.
We're doing the best we can. And let's accept what's happening within ourselves right now. Whatever it may be, just accept it.
Yes.
Because from that point, you can start to say, okay, I accept that. And for some reason, when you accept, doesn't it feel like there's an expansion within yourself that you can start to... It's almost like that accepting part of yourself allows you to have more space within, doesn't
it?
Because it's the observer that's accepting, isn't it?
Yes, that's it.
Maybe we could explain what the observer is after the song. We use the word observer in the situation of holding space and allowing yourself to feel how you feel in order to get to the shift. Tell us a bit about the observer, just briefly.
Yeah, probably the easiest way to access observer is to just be aware that you're consciously looking out of your eyes. It's that part of you, it's like the being that looks out of your eyes, that listens through your ears, that feels through your skin. You know, it's what's aware. You know, it's that that in you that's aware of whatever is going on. So you're observing everything, including your own breath, your own thoughts, because, you know, we believe you're not your thoughts, you're not your body. So it's that part of you that calls it my body, my thoughts, my mind.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? It's similar to if you were holding a cup. Say, for example, a warm cup filled with a liquid, warm liquid, coffee maybe. In the same way, we can observe that physical object. We can observe our thoughts.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. So we say that, you know, that your thoughts are who you think you are, but who you really are is the one observing your thoughts.
Yeah, which it's hard to get your mind around that in a way.
It's a simple thing, but it's incredibly profound at the
same completely,
time.
It's very profound, because then all of a sudden you are released. You have freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's what freedom is, ultimately. Mm. From our perspective, you know, freedom is that, is to bring yourself back to who you really are.
To just not identify with the thoughts in your mind, creating that distance.
Mm.
So becoming aware that you're the observer is creating that distance. And as soon as you create that distance from your thoughts, from your emotions, there's a little bit of space there for choice.
Yes.
Right? And so from that choice, you can start to choose, I'm going to take care of myself through this whole situation, as long as it goes for. Part of that is, you know, maintaining self-care practices. I'm going to start by creating self-time, a bit of time for myself to drop in and just to be with, you know, to observe and to make all my feelings okay. So even if it's fearful thoughts, it's okay for me to feel fear right now.
It's okay.
It's okay. And reassure yourself with the hugs.
Yes.
And enjoy.
And enjoy being in the present moment.
Mm. Being in your body.
Being in your body. Yeah, being in your moment. Sensory awareness.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. And our language isn't really set up well for it either. So, you know, even like, say, for instance, with illness, you could say I'm experiencing illness rather than I have an illness. You know, like just by saying I experience an illness, you're creating space from it.
I like that. Mm. I'm experiencing. So whatever it is I'm experiencing this physical sensation. I'm experiencing this thought.
That's it.
I'm experiencing this worldwide situation.
This anger, this panic, this fear.
I'm experiencing these feelings.
Yeah. And it's okay.
And it's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Okay. It's just a part of it.
All part of being human.
It's all a these part things of it. Shall pass.
Yeah, they will. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks so much, Cora.